So Regina touchdown.
Hey.
I'm music journalist Christina Lee.
I'm writer, researcher, and sometimes I'm a professor, Dr. Regina Ann Bradley, and this is
Bottom of the Map.
Southern hip hop explored, explained, and exalted. We explore that shit, explain that shit, and exalt that shit. Interlude is dedicated to my god baby, Mr. Ellis Dumas IV, but
we call him Bisk.
Y'all can't call him Bisk. He'll look at you like, nah, y'all ain't got the clout to call me Bisk, but I'm his godmama. I can call him Bisk. I was there from the jump. So Bisk was like, you know, me and Bisk, we have a weekly check-in, right? Like, I just like to check in with my guy, see how he's doing, and, you know, he's about to be the next superstar varsity freshman football player up out in Indiana, you know what I mean? And we gave each other homework, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, if there's something that we want each other to listen to, be like, yeah, you listen to that, and then let's talk about it. So I was getting ready to go on the anniversary trip, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I was doing my check-in with Godson, and he was like, have you listened to the new Tyler, the Creator? Now, I can't say I'm a fan of Tyler, the Creator. I just felt like I was too old to be a fan of Tyler, the Creator. And I was like, nah. He was like, no, for real. He was adamant. He was like, no, for real, auntie, you need to go and listen. So I was like, all right, I'm listening to it. He's like, it's gonna make your trip like all that much better. I said, all right. So I'm listening to it and I'm like, is it 2001 or is it 2021? Cause I hear drama in his bag. Like, this is a mixtape.
Right.
And I'm like, oh shit. It rides. It is so, I was pleasantly surprised. Like, I was halfway through the album and I had to text Godson like, shit, you were right.
And he didn't provide any spoilers, right?
No, he didn't say nothing. He didn't say what was on there. He was just like, listen
press
to
play.
It, press play, and then we're going to talk about it. I said, okay. As you can tell, we have
this shit for the sun seekers. Got the bikes on the tarmac. Welcome to the disco. Hitting willies and shit. Call me if you get lost. Perfume on the skin.
See, while y'all was in the house, we was taking Rolls Royces to go see alligators.
DJ Drama, man.
So with Call Me With You Get Lost, I mean, this is a really interesting return to form for Tyler to a certain extent, because I think especially with his most recent album prior to this, Igor, you know, where everybody, my friend Victor Lukerson, shout out to him, he dressed up as Igor for Halloween. Earthquake was the lead single off of Igor, right? And that sort of really set the tone for Tyler, the Creator, in that particular moment. I think in that moment, he decided that for whatever reason, he took issue with the label rapper. He felt kind of constrained by it. And I feel like a lot of artists, especially as they enter the mainstream, if you will, start to take issue with that. And I think it's mostly because of boardroom conversations. I don't think it's due to being out of love with the form, per se. So what was really interesting about the rollout with Call Me If You Get Lost is you see these trailers where it looks like a fucking Wes Anderson film. And you're like, okay, what's he going to be singing about now? And then you hear a little bit of Ty Dolla $ign here and there. And then the song Lumberjack comes out.
Okay. Now we ready.
Rolls Royce pull up, black boy hop out. Shout out to my mother and my father, they can pull out. MSG sell out, fuck these niggas yap out. Whips on whips, my ancestors got their backs out. Too far, 500 stacks for the hood. Call me Lumberjack, cause I wish a nigga would. Race you it like I, this the wish a nigga could face. They ain't getting paper like they should. Niggas ain't really on, it's like a shitty on. I hit Drizzy and told him I had a milli for him. I own my company's full, told him.
And then when the album rolls out, you're like, no, this isn't just a feature.
Oh, no, he is your guy.
It's a fucking Gangster Grillz.
Yes!
It's a fucking Gangster Grillz.
Yes!
And it's crazy to see Gangster Grillz being reintroduced to this generation.
But, like, it wasn't just like, oh, that's so nice, Gangster Grillz. I'm talking about, like, hungry, still trying to get it. Gangsta Grillz. 2001 Gangsta Grillz. You know what I'm saying? And he was in his bag in a way I haven't heard and I haven't felt in such a long time, which made me think about, you know, and shout out to the folks who talk to us on social media, you know what I mean? Who were asking, like, you know, where does the mixtape fit? And I felt like when I was listening to the album, it sounded like an extended mixtape because Drama was like walking you through it. You know what I'm saying? Did you get that feeling? I mean, like, did you feel like he was, you say he was in his bag, but I mean, like, what else kind of stood out about why Drama was important?
So that's the really interesting thing about music these days. So often when I'm having to report things, or even when I just had to fact check an article today where I was like, I don't know if this is a mixtape, album, and or a project, just a nebulous project. And part of the reason is because some of the signifiers behind what made a mixtape, namely the voice of Drama, you know, the distinction between, is this a DJ mix or is this a no DJ mix, right? That distinction being made, that had sort of been taken away. And to be fair, you know, Drama hasn't just been sitting idle. You know, he right. and Don Cannon have been doing Generation Now, helming artists like Lil Uzi Vert. So all of their industry influence is now being felt like behind the scenes versus Drama being such a prominent voice. But I think it brought people back to the era where mixtapes were so clearly mixtapes. Mm-hmm. And that was a real key signifier.
It was its own genre, right?
A genre.
Like it was a genre that it was so easy to distinguish, kind of like what you were saying, is a mixtape is usually raw. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't feel as polished, and not polished in the sense that it doesn't have good content, but polished in the sense like it didn't go through, you know, the many levels of approval.
Raw is the aesthetic that you're going for.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? It didn't go through all of the approvals. And then on top of that, I mean, like, you know, it was still, there was a particular grittiness to it. But I think Drama sonically reminds the listener that if he has to, Tyler, the Creator, could whoop ass. Like, if I have to, I still have that grit. You know what I'm saying? But I think what really stood out for me about this album is that there was such a great mix of that grit and also sweet. You know what I'm saying? It was like a sweet and sour, like, you know, what's your name? And, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's pitching the woo. You know what I'm saying? On top of that, and he's still like, but no, for real. Like, don't get this twisted.
Oh, you look malnourished. Get some bread, fried an egg, yo, you're drowning in syrup. You pick a spot, I pick a tail number, and we could be tourists. Let's go to Cannes and watch a couple indie movies that you never heard of. Listen to bands, groove when we dance, disco in France. Smell some perfume, head in the wind. We can switch off, I can show you how you can really exfoliate skin. If you got a man, you should cut it off. Get your passport, cause we run it off. We can sit and talk, you can tell me everything that's on your chest. Baby, get it off, you are my type. You a bright light, and I'm like a moth. This is not a game, but before we start, what's your name, girlfriend?
Hey, players, this Peaches, and you listening to the Bottom of the Map podcast right here in ATL. Yeah, boy.
It was also a really good reminder that Gangsta Grillz extends beyond the Tips, the Jeezys, the Lil Waynes. We have to remember that with this being a franchise, they ended up working with the likes of Lil Brother. You know, they ended up working with the likes of the Neptunes, Childish Gambino. But I think it just reminded people that Gangsta Grillz meant a lot to so many people, and that Gangsta Grillz had this range and influence to where, like, artists of all spectrums, whether they sounded like this type of Southern hip hop or that type of Southern hip hop, everybody wanted to work with him.
Yeah, but I also just think it's the production, like, you know, is doing a little bit of background. I mean, like, he had such a heavy hand in that. And I'm wondering if this is me going back to, you know, one of our previous conversations about nostalgia, right? Is that when I heard Drama, that put me in a particular place. When I heard the production on the album, I was like, okay, this reminds me of like an older set, you know what I'm saying? Not necessarily age-wise, but I mean, like, just generationally within hip-hop, I'm like, okay, this reminded me of old school, early 2000s, you know what I'm saying? Just, and what I mean by that is just, like, the fullness of it. I don't know how to explain it. It's, like, just the fullness of the track. Not necessarily how he was spitting, which was dope, but I mean, like, the accompaniment on each track, I was like, yeah. And then the transitions, because I'm like, the transitions, you know, it sounded like he did his homework, you know what I'm saying? And it made me think about, you know, other folks who do great transitions, like Travis Scott, for example. Travis Scott is damn near untouchable. He'll give you five songs in one because of the transitions. And I thought that that was so important because it spoke to the fluidity of the album. You know what I'm saying? It didn't sound choppy. It didn't sound like, okay, of course this song is going off. You get that brief little pause and then another song is coming on. Like, it was all like hitting you after back, after back, after back, you know? And I'm just like, what? Yeah. And then something else that stood out is, I think that's his mom. Isn't that his mom on one of the tracks? Yeah. So I was laughing because, you know, we can't seem to get past an episode of Bottom of the Mac without shouting out the cast. But I mean, I really thought about in that particular track with his mom, it reminded me of The Love Below and Andre interviewing his mom on She's Alive. Like, you hear like the snippets of his mom talking about raising Andre and how hard it was. And she's like, I got to do what I got to do.
I was scuffling going to school. I was scuffling and working at night. And you know what? I truly believe, and that's why I tell a lot of parents, single parents, don't tell me what God can't do. I made sure you had. I never felt like you should be deprived of anything. If a man didn't want to take care of his child, you move on. And that's what I did. I moved on.
And you get like a much more keep it 100 version of that with his mom.
Facts. I didn't give a fuck. I bossed up on teachers, principals, mamas, kids. I didn't give a fuck. Am I lying?
You have no reason to.
No. You fuck with my kids, I'll beat up kids over my kids. Okay? This little boy used to run. He was scared. I said, go get your bitch ass mama. I would beat your whole family and didn't give a fuck. It's like, Tyler mama crazy. Tyler mama crazy, yup. Fuck with my kids.
But I just thought that was really great, is that being able to pull from, you know what I'm saying, and it really made me think about, and it's still making me think about, you know, what sampling means now for younger artists. Is not necessarily just sampling a track, but I mean, like, even sampling the aesthetic. You know what I'm saying? And I think that above everything else, what Tyler Creator has done so wonderfully is that he's showing you how he can fit. And this is the trajectory. And this is where he wants it to go. You know what I'm saying? While not losing sight of who he truly is, which is really dope.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the most interesting part of this rollout was sort of seeing the younger generation's reactions to Call Me If You Get Lost, because they don't really have a frame of reference. They see Lil Wayne for who he is, but they don't fully understand, or they haven't gone back to hear the Dedication 2s or anything like that. They're not used to that aesthetic. So at first they're like, who the fuck is this dude disrupting the flow of this album? Not understanding that was precisely the selling point.
Right.
Once upon a time, that if you had that stamp of approval, that if you had a Gangsta Grills, it's like, oh, this is
legit.
This is legit. Exactly. Exactly. So I think that was the most interesting part. It was interesting to see younger listeners sort of wrap their mind around it, which is why I'm so intrigued by your godson immediately knowing, like, this is in Regina's bag.
Yeah, he was like, auntie, for real, you know what I'm saying? And I think, too, the other thing that stood out, what I found funny, is that he was like, as like, he was listening to Culture 3, which is also dope.
Migos.
Yeah, he was listening to Migos Culture 3. He was like, auntie, I stopped listening to Culture 3 so I can listen to Tyler. I said, what? He was like, he said he forgot all about Culture 3 because Tyler was on his, I was just like, oh, so he was really sitting with it, you know? So I definitely think that, you know, that younger generation thing, but I also think it reminds older generations like me, it's not going to be the same thing it was when you were my age. However, some of us have done our homework. Some of us have, you know, picked up the mantle, so to speak.
I know we gotta, like, I know this is only an interlude, but it got me thinking, now that you say that, picking up from where we left off with, like, hitmaking conversations and about how modern day albums have to cater to this modern day standard for going platinum. They're like, okay, we got to have this many songs to get these many certifications and all that type of stuff, where longer is better and deluxe editions are better. I wonder if it resonated with people because it reminds of a time when, like, a single person or a single entity curated the thing, as opposed to it being sort of market engineered. So going back to where your point was, like, I think you were hinting at this, but it's just something I'm thinking about just now. The Migos album is great, But I think it also sort of falls in the trap with a lot of music coming out today, where you can see the machinations in play and you can sort of see like, okay, these are the logical decisions to make in this particular time in this streaming era, versus a Call Me If You Get Lost with the stamp being so loud and audible. It just reminds of a different time where this was like, it gives a sense of craftsmanship. That's probably the best way to put it, honestly.
It gives you a beginning, a middle, and an end. But also on top of that, I mean, it actually gives you an extent, I hate to say it like this, but an extended album. There's like 16 tracks. Usually when you get an album now, it's 6, 7, 2 minutes piece maybe.
Or like 24.
Yeah, but then it's like, going, you know, but then it's like the curation thing. If it's 24 tracks, it'd be like, okay, you just because you liked it. And I also think too, that's the reason that Drama stood out for me, is because he's curating what you're hearing. Being able to recognize and bridge those generational anxieties, if you will, that are part of the music culture now, I think is something that, I mean, like, you know, Tyler Creator has never strayed from that. Like, he's never been afraid of that. But I also think too, it's as he matures in his art and as he matures as an individual, that is becoming more and so part of the music.
All right, Stephen, here we go. Bottom Up the Map is brought to you by BOTM Media, PRX, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Bottom Up the Map is produced by Floyd Hall, that's me, and edited by Stephen Key, aka Major Key. Executive producers, Regina N. Bradley, Floyd Hall, Stephen Key, and Christina Lee. Visit bottomofthemap.media for more information about the show and to subscribe to the newsletter. If you're on social media, connect with us at BOTMPod. Again, that's BOTMPod. This episode is now finished, but we are not done. We'll catch you next time. Take care.
And like that, be gone.